Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Townsend Restaurant and Bakery, capturing the spirit of San Francisco. Tamron Lenses and Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. They have the perfect lens for you. Today we have part two of our conversation with Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game in our on-site podcast at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. We're going to talk in this segment here. First, we'll start with Tim Lincecum, who had a really good outing his first time out as an Angel against the A's. It had to be strange that first time. But since then, he struggled. The second time, he just kind of averaged. And then he really didn't pitch well the third time. And I just wonder if he's going to flame out. I mean, does he just not have it? He's never going to be the same Timmy. But can he be effective, you think, for the Angels or somebody else going forward with the kind of stuff he has after his surgery? And
well, that's a lot of questions. You scattergunned me right there. It was like paintball. Being
I expect you to
head.
Know. You need to know.
Okay, it was yes, no, no, yes, and maybe in order. I think he may have to come to a point where he realizes a different role. And maybe he becomes a short relief guy, a setup guy, a right-hand on right-hand specialist. It looks like, as a starting pitcher, that he's losing his effectiveness. It seems like he picked up right where he left off before his injury with the Giants and before he had his big showcase and came back with the Angels. They kind of figured him out. The A's figured him out the second time they faced him, and then his last outing, four-pitch walk, home run. Tough way to start. And really, you know, he doesn't have the top-end fastball anymore to be able to have his elite off-speed pitches really work for him. If his fastball's upper 80s and then the split and the change are upper 70s or even low 80s, that's all very highly hittable. There's no real fear factor anymore. The breaking ball is still good, but without that top-end velocity, he's not a much of a daunting pitcher to face anymore.
Well, here's my thing. Any guy who throws upper 80s, if they can get ahead 0-1, and that was the way it was with Zito at the end of his career. I mean, he found a way in the World Series and in the NLCS. He found a way to get ahead. If you get that fastball on the corner, easier said than done. But if you get ahead on a hitter, then it just changes everything. I mean, Zito could throw that curveball. Lincecum could throw that Bugs Bunny split changeup. But when he's not getting ahead, when he's walking batters, like you said, he's just so hittable. If he's going to throw a fastball down the middle at 87, he's going to get crushed.
And you can't make that strike one because these hitters are too good. They spit on 87 on the regular, even if it's a get-it-over-first-pitch fastball.
Right.
And so he ends up either trying to pitch backwards, which is the off-speed stuff first, and, you know, save the fastball for the waist pitch, or you end up going down 1-0, 2-0, and now you're in trouble because if you need a strike and you throw the fastball, it's hittable. And if you're not hitting with the specialty pitches, now you got control issues. That's been his problem for the last couple of years, Joe.
It's got to be on the corners. He needs Eric Gregg as his personal umpire. For those of you who don't remember,
walking through that door,
Eric Gregg. Remember the game of Tom Glavine struck out whatever 13.
Thoughts and prayers. Levon Hernandez was the one famously.
Oh yeah, well, that was the thing. You're right. Everything was 3 feet outside. Struck him out. He was all of a sudden from Naked Gun. It was just everything is a strike. Yeah, it was. But anyway, that's what he needs as his personal umpire. Let's get into Will Clark here for a little bit. He came on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I just thought it was fascinating. It's always fun to hear from Will Clark, Will the Thrill. But the quote that he had on our podcast, for those of you who didn't listen to it, he said they're taking all the contact out of the sport. And he's talking about the new rules, home plate recently, but now second base. And he said they're babyfying the sport. It's bad to see. I understand the salaries these guys are making. They have to protect the players, but they've really babyfied the sport. I don't think it's good for the sport. If you're not going to allow somebody to at least make a little contact, disrupt the double play, what's the reason in running down there to second base? And, you know, he was a hard-nosed player. If you ever watch clips, there's a clip of him sliding into second.
Jose Oquendo.
Yeah, Jose Oquendo. Yeah, and he gets into a fight with him and Ozzie Smith. Right, and it was payback for some hit by pitch or something in the game before. But in any case, he was able to do something like that now you can't get away with anything. I mean, you can't slide hard or pass second base. He doesn't like it. What do
and
you
it
think?
It happened last night with on the I think it was the Mac Williamson double play ground ball.
Had his fingerprints all over that game.
Bases loaded, one out, and it turns into a I think a 4-6-3 double play that wasn't safe at first, and then you see the sick thing. Ah! The ump right away. No, he's out.
Slid past the bat,
and
yeah.
he barely slid past the bat.
Right.
I mean, that would be like getting a ticket every time that you didn't stop at the limit line of the crosswalk before you turned right on red. Nobody stops and then proceeds into the crosswalk. If there's no one crossing, you kind of slow roll it. Thank you. You kind of slow roll your way into it.
And then go.
You stop, but you go. But you don't stop behind the limit line. Same ridiculous nitpicky thing is what you have here, where you've got a case of a guy barely overslides it, and they call him out. Will Clark is right about the babification of the game.
Is that how you pronounce it? Babification?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Babifying.
He made up his own term.
Babifying. And right. He's right to an extent, but when you see what you saw last year with current Giant Ruben Tejada getting his femur snapped by Chase Utley going rogue, I mean, they had to do something, but I think they've gone too far.
Right. Maybe just give it to the umpires. Leave it to the umpires and say,
right.
if it's obviously a takeout to injure with intent to injure, you got to do something. You got to call them out. You maybe have to suspend the player, whatever you got to do. But now to change it completely the opposite way where you can't even make any contact, and then you're saying that there's no more neighborhood play, so you're almost creating more of an injury issue for some of these second basemen.
Agreed.
They got to stand right on the bag, you know, to make sure that's right.
We asked Ron Washington today on 95.7 The Game, noon to three with Greg Papa.
There you go. Yeah, this guy right here.
Free plug. Get the mug back in here, too.
Greg Papa.
Plugs for everyone. Looking Glass, thanks for having us.
Yes.
Wash said he doesn't coach any differently. He still coaches his guys the same way, which is make the play and get out of the way. Be safe and get out of there. Even though guys aren't allowed to slide hard and through anymore, he still coaches his guys to get out.
More with Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game right after this. Hey Giants fans, whether you're taking pictures of Little Leaguers or the pros, Tamron Lenses and Looking Glass Photo have the perfect lens for you. The award-winning Tamron 16-300mm all-in-one zoom is more versatile than your basic kit lens. With amazing Tamron quality and image stabilization, you'll never need to switch lenses again, whether they are sliding into home or making a spectacular catch at the wall. Your Tamron lens will catch them all. Tamron has lenses for all of your photographic needs, and you can get your Tamron lens at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. Contact them at www.lookingglassphoto.com.
I've had a lot of conversations on this podcast with John Shea about replay, and that's part of it that bothers me with the whole rule now without having the neighborhood play. You're going to go back and you're going to freeze it and you're going to go frame by frame. I'm ready to just dump replay altogether. I don't know. Maybe you have ideas about tweaking it, maybe. But I just the whole replay thing, it's taking too long, and you're playing a game that's not the way it's really supposed to be played. It's played in regular speed, not frame by frame.
Right. I've always been an anti-replay guy in almost in almost every case. It takes too long. The accuracy is not what it is cracked up to be. And especially in a case like this, the neighborhood play, when a guy is receiving the ball as he's coming off the base to safely step through and make a throw. His toe came up right before the squeeze of the glove.
It's crazy.
Awful. Now, it plays at first, bang, bang, plays at first. I don't mind those reviews because it's pretty clear to see when the play is made and where the foot is. I get that. But otherwise, and, you know, home run, yay or nay, let's look at it. If it's interference, take a quick look. But it's gotten to the point where, you know, manager waits for his own video guy to see if it's reviewable. Then the manager slowly waddles out, tells the ump. The umps then huddle, and then now we got to go put the headset on. So now we go headsets, and we talk to New York, and then they commiserate, and then they get the thing, and then they make the ruling, and then one of the managers comes out again. So it's not so much the actual review, it's all the rigmarole around it.
Yeah, and that's like that in other sports now. I mean, just where it's taking so long. You know, in an NBA game, you're watching the Warriors, and I can almost understand if it's the finals, but some regular season game at the end of the game, they're going to take a look at everything.
And you know what the biggest problem is? And everyone talks about the everyone gets a trophy-ification of America.
Right.
The real problem is that nobody can handle getting screwed anymore. You remember Mike Renfro?
Yeah.
You remember Mike Renfro of the Oilers? when they were going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in 1978, and he goes in the corner and he gets 2 feet down and they rule him out of the end zone. Okay, that was the play that really was the launch pad for instant replay, because they got
they screwed. Got it wrong. Or Don Deckinger got in baseball.
Yes.
Yeah, 85 World Series, yeah.
Even today, with all of the video review that goes on, there are still times that the call is wrong. So people are still getting screwed. But we as Americans, American sports fans, we can't handle that. And so we think that technology and instant replay is the cure-all, and it's not.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the screw. It's going to happen to you. You're going to get a parking ticket that you didn't deserve. And you can fight it, and you can either win or lose, but ultimately, you're either going to pay it or they're going to boot your car. And sports should be the same way. Sometimes you get the call, sometimes you don't. The Raiders have the immaculate reception that goes against you. Holy roller goes for you.
Right. It's just, yeah.
Things balance out over time. We don't need a 5-minute confab with headsets and, you know, all of the pomp and circumstance for what? So we can get it right?
If you used it once a game, it'd probably be okay. Like for the Galarraga perfect game, you know, and Joyce, Jim Joyce just totally blew that call at first base. That was a shame. It would be great if you could have replayed that.
Shame.
Just one replay. But when you've got too many of them and it's taking so long, I agree with you.
You know, the best sport for it is tennis. You know, it's going so fast. The ball's near the line. The player, the player gives that look like, I've been wronged, you know. Pardonnez-moi, I have been wronged. He looks at the umpire, gives the signal. They instantly show you the, whoa. You see the spot shadow of where it was. In or out, we move on. It's 20 seconds.
So it's just boom.
Boom.
It's
just there. They
need to do that in baseball. It's got to be faster.
You know, the guy doesn't have to come out of the chair and walk across the net and put on a headset. Can you imagine? It's awful.
Back with Dan Dibley in our on-site podcast at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley in just a moment. The next time you're on your way to a Giants game, stop by Town's End Restaurant and Bakery for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., or for brunch on the weekend from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Celebrating their 26th year, family-run and cozy, Town's End Restaurant and Bakery captures the spirit of San Francisco with homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. They're serving cage-free Petaluma eggs and have been organic since well before organic became mainstream. Consistent quality, 4-star Google reviews, and great service from loyal employees that have been there for over 20 years. Town's End Restaurant and Bakery, a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park, right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco.
Now, we got a few more things to get to. One, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about underrated parts of baseball, you know, because, you know, watching the Giants every day recently, we talked about part one of this podcast, their defensive woes. So you could say maybe that's a little underrated, but I think even base running, I noticed there was a game recently where Angel Pagan and Ramiro Pena, they didn't run out of the box right away and it cost them 90 feet each time. I mean, I think you got to put your head down and run, not watch. Is it going to hit the wall? Is it going to be a home run? And you would think at the major league level, you wouldn't be doing that. You know, maybe you learned along the way, but guys still do it. I think that can cost you a ball game. What do you look at as far as, you know, the most underrated parts of baseball?
I think it comes down to throwing, you know, whether it's hitting the cutoff man, throwing to the correct base, or even making the rudimentary throws that are necessary throughout the diamond. You know, you hear stories of John Lester not holding runners on because he just can't throw to first. He just can't do it. You've got catchers who aren't the best at throwing down to second, in particular, to control the running game. Outfielders who have notoriously weak arms who get run on ad nauseum. Those little things, the throwing of the baseball, I think a lot of times we don't think about, we don't see, especially on TV. You know, when you're there live, you can see Josh Reddick come up throwing, and it's a laser, and it's on point. It's like, wow, that guy's, he's a good fielder. He's got a good arm. On TV, I think it's a little bit more of a tough thing to pick up.
I used to think Johnny Damon was a real weakness in the outfield because he couldn't throw.
Yeah.
And that hurts. And I also wonder about just the old school way of thinking, really, is to hit the cutoff man in a way. I mean, you do want to hit the cutoff man even today, but when you have a guy like Yasiel Puig who can throw somebody out, maybe overthrow that cutoff man, but he can throw people out just on the fly. Sometimes you got to just let him do it, I guess.
Yeah, Cespedes the same way.
Right, right.
You know, he might make a misplay out there, but when he gets the ball in his hand, he's got an absolute rifle. That throw he made, what was it, last year or the year before, that from the deep corner that just sailed, kept sailing, just on the money at home. That's when he was still with the A's.
It's just an incredible arm.
Yeah.
Okay, to finish up, we've got, you know, Giants and A's playing each other this week, which has been a lot of fun. But it's just been amazing in the Bay Area. I mean, this is the golden time. I mean, Warriors in the finals 2 years in a row. They win it 1 year. They lose heartbreaker the second year. The Sharks in the Stanley Cup finals at the same time. It was just an amazing period here the last month. And since you've been on 95.7 The Game, I can only imagine how much fun you guys have been having with it. You know, now it's kind of died down. It's just down to baseball, waiting for football. But how much did you enjoy? And how much do you think the fans of the Bay Area just, you know, sort of savored it? I don't think anybody was taking it for granted. Hopefully not.
No, I think you can go all the way back to 2010 when the Giants won the World Series. That really was about the start of this great renaissance for the pro teams. And, you know, part of that is, I think, a reason why 95.7 The Game has even developed and started to thrive now. We're coming up on 5 years of existence, and, you know, KNBR has been around forever. They're the monster. Nobody does it better, you know, the sports leader and all that. But there's so much sports interest that a second station, and maybe now a third with KNBR 1050 trying to come fully online, the sports appetite is so great now in the Bay Area. And I think it started with the Giants. You know, when they won that first title, and, you know, Timmy and Panda and Brian Wilson and all the characters brought in a lot of, I think, secondary and tertiary sports fans. And then from there, the Niners were successful. And now, obviously, the Warriors now and the Sharks. And it's just been a complete renaissance. And I think it's brought a lot more sports fans into sports who weren't otherwise interested.
That's Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game and our on-site podcast at Looking Glass Photo in Berkeley. Join us again on Tuesday. We'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco podcasting once again from the ballpark. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.